Seattle's Morning News. This is Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. I know many of you participate in advocacy groups that try to help immigrants who have come to this country, even if they haven't got all their documents. The Supreme Court is taking up a case which may create some legal jeopardy for such organizations. Let's go to former State Attorney General Rob McKenna. Rob, this is a Supreme Court case involving somebody who was, in fact, advocating for illegal immigrants.
Well, she was running a business and she charged immigrants to help them obtain green cards. However, she was defrauding them by telling them they could apply for what's called the labor certification under a program that expired back in 2001.
Oh, well, that's
and
clearly
she continued
illegal.
So she continued to take people's money, supposedly to obtain this labor certification for them for at least 7 years after the law expired. And she was prosecuted under two statutes. One is the statute prohibiting fraud in federal law. And indeed, she was convicted of mail fraud and those convictions of two counts and those convictions were upheld. But she was also convicted on two counts of, quote, encouraging and inducing an alien to remain in the United States for the purposes of financial gain. And that conviction was overturned by the Ninth Circuit, which concluded that the phrase encouraging and inducing infringes on free speech rights because it's overly broad. So evidently the concern is that someone who is advocating for people who are here illegally could be charged with a felony, although it isn't clear why the modifier for the purposes of financial gain wouldn't protect the typical immigration rights activist.
Yeah, that does seem to be a make it a special case, which would not apply to some, for example, a church that was providing sanctuary for people who were here illegally.
Right. Yeah, it's a little odd, but I suppose you could think of cases on the margin where somehow the activist is being paid by a nonprofit and it's part of their job. The legal question comes down to whether encouraging and inducing is speech or it's conduct. And you and I have talked about this before, that the line can be blurry. So the defendant and many friends of the court brief that were filed on her behalf, they argued, of course, this is the statute is about speech. Encouraging can include talking, speaking. So can inducing. The government said, no. The statute is about the conduct of encouraging and inducing an alien. In this case, this woman obviously did talk to her clients, but she also encouraged and induced them by, you know, selling them on the notion that they could obtain a labor certification that they didn't know was no longer available.
Well, providing shelter to someone and not informing the authorities that you were essentially harboring illegals could be seen as an inducement to stay, although I don't see how there's a profit motive in that, unless you're having the people that you're giving sanctuary to, say, I don't know, maintain the church grounds or do some kind of labor in exchange.
I assume that the reason the statute refers to financial gain is for the obvious reason that they didn't want the statute to apply to, you know, family members, for example.
Yeah.
You're just trying to shelter your loved one. It's clearly not for financial gain. You couldn't be prosecuted under this statute. So
let me interrupt you there. So suppose, okay, you're sheltering a family member who's here without their documents, but that family member works and helps pay the rent. Would that step up to the line?
You know, it might, but it's one of those situations where the prosecutor is probably going to exercise her discretion and not charge the family member who's providing that shelter under this particular statute. The statute does seem aimed at people running immigration businesses, for example. But I suppose, you know, theoretically, if the person here illegally is helping to support the household and they need the income to help make their own rent, I suppose that a broad reading of the statute could bring that in. The case doesn't seem to really get to that question as much as it focuses on whether or not this is overly broad. In other words, we protect free speech from the chilling effects of criminal laws, where the law is so broad that it might discourage someone, you know, from being an advocate for immigrant rights because they're worried that someone will decide, oh, somehow you're making money off of this, maybe because you are being paid by a nonprofit or maybe for some other reason. So the Ninth Circuit struck it down, and it'll be interesting to see if the Supreme Court agrees this statute should be struck down because it's on its face impermissibly overbroad and a violation of free speech rights.
Yeah. Have they agreed to take up the case?
They have.
Wow. So typically, how long does it take after they agree?
Yeah, it looks like they'll hear this case sometime in the late winter or spring. The briefs are due in January, and the last brief is due in January. So they'll probably schedule it for oral argument, like you say, late winter or early spring, which means that we'll get a ruling by no later than early June.
Former State Attorney General Rob McKenna. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Dave.